Have your Bibles this morning. I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Matthew. I would like to read from Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. There are four words that have been on my heart every day during this past week and really probably for several days before that. Those four words are, I am not worthy. I am not worthy. There are so many things as we think about those words, I am not worthy. There are so many things that we can think about that we are not worthy of. We certainly are not worthy that God would give His only begotten Son to come down into this world to save us from our sins. We are not worthy that God would give His only begotten Son. We are not worthy that Jesus would leave the portals of heaven, that though He was rich, that He would come down here and live in this world and die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. We are not worthy that Jesus has died and saved us from our sins. We are not worthy to go to God. We're not worthy to go to Him in prayer. We're not worthy to call on the name of the Lord. We're not worthy to have Jesus as our best friend. We are not worthy to have all the blessings that God bestows upon our lives every day. We are not worthy of even the least of God's blessings. And yet God, in His mercy and in His grace, God does bless us beyond measure. He has blessed us. He does bless us, and He shall bless us in the future. And again, it is not because we are worthy, but rather it's because of God's amazing grace. We find in Matthew chapter 3 that John the Baptist knew that he was not worthy. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, we hear the words of John the Baptist. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John the Baptist knew that he was not worthy to even bear the shoes of Jesus Christ, to be able to even have the privilege to touch the shoes and to carry the shoes of Jesus. He knew how unworthy he was. And I want you to remember that this is the same man. You want to think about how unworthy he was. He is the man that Jesus says, of those that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Now, if John the Baptist felt, I am not worthy to bear his shoes, and the testimony of Jesus Christ about John the Baptist is that among those born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Do you see that we are even more unworthy than John the Baptist? And yet, John the Baptist felt and declared and said, I am not worthy. And it was not just with his words or mouth that he said, I am not worthy. In his actions, in his life, he lived in such a way to show that he loved God and was thankful for God's blessings in his life, and that he knew that God did not owe him anything, that he did not deserve the blessings that he had. And so he could honestly, truthfully say by his words and by his actions, he could declare, I am not worthy to bear his shoes. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8. We read in Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 5, about the centurion. You remember how the centurion had a servant that was sick. Now, brethren, if you are sick, I expect you will, if you are seriously sick, I expect you will be praying for God to help you. If a member of your family is sick, I expect you will be praying for God to bless that member of your family. And yet this was a servant of this centurion. He was not related to him. He was not a member of his family, but he was a servant. And the centurion loved his servant so much that he went to Jesus, seeking Jesus to heal his sick servant. I want you to think about, brethren, the magnitude of the love of the centurion to go to Jesus in behalf of his servant. Wouldn't you say that was a pretty worthy man? He also had helped build the temple. He had done many other things to prove his love for God. And yet when Jesus said, I will come, here's what the centurion said in response to Jesus saying, I'll come and I'll heal your servant. Look, please, in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 8. After Jesus says, I will come and heal him, in verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. I'm telling you, brethren, when I look at this centurion, I look at his love for God, I look at his love for religion, I look at his love for God's people, I look at his love for his servant, and I want you to know that if I was going to list a man who was worthy of various things, I would say that this man is worthy. But I'm telling you that the centurion, in spite of all he had done, he said, I am not worthy that Jesus would come into my house. I am not worthy that Jesus would come under my roof. And then he said, but speak the word only. Now, brethren, there's a lot of preaching right there. I want to stay on the subject, but I want you to remember that that centurion said, but speak the word only. Brethren, that centurion believed in the power of the word of God. He believed that God had the power to just speak the word and the centurion's servant would be healed. And that's what Jesus did. All Jesus did, he didn't go to the man's house. All he did was just declare, your servant is healed. All he did was just speak the word, the same word that created this earth. I want you to think about the power of the word of God, that all Jesus has to do is speak and it's done. Doesn't matter if it's a sickness. Doesn't matter if it's creating the earth. Doesn't matter if you're out and a great storm is coming. Some of you got a word last night that there was a tornado warning. And some people were screaming and crying and wailing because there was a warning of a tornado. I'm telling you, brethren, we ought not to be that unsure of our confidence in God. God is on His throne. And if God sees fit to take me home through a tornado, that's all right. If He takes us home, we're going home to be with Him. We ought not to be afraid. When the disciples were afraid, Jesus told them, fear not. They were in the middle of a storm out in the ocean. And the ship was about to sink. And they cried unto Jesus. And Jesus just spoke the word. He just said, peace be still. Do you believe in the power of the word of God? Isn't it wonderful that Jesus has so much power? So this centurion who believed in the great power of the Word of God, this centurion who loved his servant so much, this centurion whom Jesus said, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. Jesus commended him highly, and yet he said of himself, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Do you see that if the centurion felt that he was not worthy, do you see how far short we fall from even being like the centurion and how unworthy we are? Turning your Bibles back to Genesis chapter 32. In Genesis chapter 32, the Word of God tells us about Jacob. And some of us might feel we are better than Jacob because Jacob was certainly a scoundrel. Jacob, you remember, had stolen his brother's birthright. Jacob had deceived his father. Jacob had done many things wrong. So you might think that you are better than Jacob. And I'm telling you, if God were to expose our sin, like God exposed Jacob's sin, if God were to write down in a book all that we have done wrong. I believe you and I would find that in all probability we are worse than Jacob was. And so it is that God does declare the sin of Jacob, but Jacob felt his sinful condition. In Genesis chapter 32, Jacob declares that he knew that he was not worthy of the blessings of God. Genesis chapter 32 and verse 10, Jacob says, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." He says, "I am not worthy of the least of the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." Can you honestly, truthfully say from your heart this morning, "Lord, I am not worthy. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies." Can you say that this morning? Has God been merciful to you? Has God manifested His mercy and His grace to you in many different ways? And do you feel what Jacob felt when he said, "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies"? And then he says, "And of all the truth which thou hast showed me." That's one thing that's been on my heart a lot this week as I thought about, meditated on the words of Jacob when he said, "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed me." Brethren, God has shown you and me much truth. Doesn't matter how little truth you know. Doesn't matter how much truth you know. I want you to know if you know any truth, God has shown that truth to you. And you are not worthy of even the least of all God's mercies. And you are not worthy of all the truth that God has shown to you. And we need to feel how unworthy we are. I want you to think about this. I want to go back just a moment to the centurion, because I think about it now as I'm looking at Jacob. The centurion, after he said, "I am not worthy that you should come under my roof," do you know what the next word is? After the centurion said, "I am not worthy that you should come under my roof," what was the very next word that the centurion said? He said, you remember? Does anybody remember? The first word was, "But speak the word only." Now I want you to think about this, because this is one thing that I've rejoiced in this week is as we think about how unworthy we are, and we recognize how unworthy we are, and we realize the truth of how unworthy we are, do you know what we're going to also be doing? We're going to be saying, "But Lord, I need you. I'm not worthy." That's what the centurion said. "I'm not worthy, but Lord, speak the word only." And that's part of what Jacob is doing here. He is leading up to asking God for something. And before he asks God of anything, he makes this declaration of how unworthy he is. He says, "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown me." But look what he does in verse 11. In Genesis chapter 32 and verse 11, he then makes a request. "Well now, Jacob, if you're not worthy of even the least of the mercies, if you're not worthy of that, and you're not worthy of all the truth, then how can you turn right around and say, 'But deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children.'" Was Jacob afraid that he was going to be killed? Did he want God to intervene and keep him from being killed? Did he deserve death? Yes, he did. He deserved death. And so he begins by saying, "God, I am not worthy of what you have already done for me, but. And that's where we're all going to find ourselves. If we recognize truth, we're going to first of all realize Those four words, I am not worthy. Brethren, it has humbled me. It has brought me to my knees. It has caused me to be afraid. It has terrified me as I have just thought on those words over and over and over this week. I am not worthy. And I pray that God will impress those four words on your heart this week, that every morning when you wake up, I pray that you will feel. Don't just say those words. However, I believe sometimes just in saying the words and continuing to say the words and praying, God, I know I am not worthy. I believe eventually you'll begin to really see and feel and know I am not worthy. Go with me to the New Testament, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You find a man like the Apostle Paul, a man who, and you can find fault with him as Saul of Tarsus because he killed Christians, but I want you to know that while he was killing Christians, he thought he was doing God's service. I want you to know that he was, among the Jews, he was probably the best Jew in the Jews' religion. He was probably the most sincere, dedicated, committed Jew in the Jews' religion. I don't think there was anyone else that excelled Saul of Tarsus as being an outstanding Jew. A man that feared God. A man that loved God. A man that was willing to kill people that in any way tried to lead the people of God away from what he believed was the truth. And he was full of zeal as he went about serving the Lord, even in killing Christians. Then Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he was converted, and he realized that Jesus is the Christ. And from that point, he began to serve Jesus. His life was changed, and the same zeal and commitment he had had just to a religion, he now has that same zeal and commitment and dedication to the person of Jesus Christ. And he declares that it's his love for Jesus. He declares it's Jesus that has made a difference in his life. He declares, in the midst of all that he's doing now, in the midst of all the preaching he's doing, in the midst of all the suffering he's doing for Christ's sake now as a Christian, in the midst of all the writing he's doing, in the midst of being in prison, he still says the same thing that John the Baptist, the same thing that Jacob, the same thing that the centurion said. The Apostle Paul said, I am not worthy. Now, do you see where I've been this week? You see how low I feel? Because when you think of the perfection of Jesus, you're going to see just how unworthy you are. But it also makes you feel unworthy when you look around the cloud of witnesses that are around us today. And you see there are so many others that are so far excelling in their service to God. And when you look at those in the Word of God, that their lives are so much more committed to God, and yet they all declared, without hesitation and from the bottom of their heart, they all said, I am not worthy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, he says, For I am the least of all the apostles, that am not meet, that means I'm not worthy, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Is he declaring a great truth in verse 9 when he says, I am not worthy, or I am not meet to be called an apostle? It's a great truth. What's he do right after he declares he's not worthy? What's he do in verse 10? What's the first word after he declares he's not worthy? But. You know, you deserve eternal hell. But God. Do you know that you're not worthy? You're not worthy to go to God in prayer. Not a one of you. Not a one of you. You're not worthy to go to God in prayer. But God has given a mediator between God and man. And that mediator is the great high priest, Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus, you can go to the Father. We go boldly before the throne of grace. Not because of our righteousness, not because of any good thing we've ever done, but the only reason we can go boldly, but I am not worthy, but I can go to God in prayer because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I go boldly before the throne of grace to obtain what? Why do you need mercy? Because what? Because I am not worthy. But God, who is rich in mercy. Paul says, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15, after he's declared, I am not worthy to be called an apostle, he says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He continues to give glory to God. Go with me very quickly to Luke, and we'll close in the book of Luke, not just with one verse, but I want you to look in Luke chapter 15. I know I've mentioned the prodigal son several times in the past few weeks, but it's all right. If you get tired of hearing about the prodigal son, you don't want to hear about the prodigal son, you don't want to hear something from the Word of God, something's wrong with you. Luke chapter 15, listen please to verses 18 and 19. This prodigal son, I'm going to ask you a question. Was there a time that this prodigal son thought that he was worthy, to get a bunch of stuff? Was there a time that he felt he was worthy to get at least half of all that his father had? Was there a time that he felt worthy? Oh yeah, he felt so worthy, he was so cocky, he was so bold, he went to his father and asked his father to give him his inheritance so he could leave. Now, that's about as bold and arrogant and about as prideful as a human can be. He felt worthy to get that money. And he went out and he wasted his father's goods and riot his living. And then after he had lost everything and he was willing to eat just the same thing the hogs ate. Here's what he said in Luke chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. After he came to himself, he said in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Do you hear what the prodigal son said? I am no more worthy. I am not worthy. Was that true of the prodigal son? Is it true of you today? I'm not talking about was true. Is it true of you today that you are still not worthy? Is there anybody here that's good enough to stand before God and say, I've done such a good job this past week, you owe me? You remember, and sometimes people go to church and they feel that way. There were two men in Luke 18 that went to the temple to pray. Luke 18 verses 9 through 14, those two men went to the temple to pray. Did one of them feel very worthy? He said in Luke 18 verse 11, he says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Do you hear the contempt in his voice? I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Did you know sometimes we come to the house of God and there are people that look around the congregation and they feel so superior to other people of God? I'm telling you, brethren, you and I are not worthy to be in the house of God. We're not worthy to be able to pray. We're not worthy to have been born of the Spirit of God. We're not worthy to have been delivered from our sins. We are not worthy. This man thought he was worthy. He prayed thus with himself, I thank you that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what he was saying? He was saying four words. He was saying, I am not worthy. But God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Why aren't you worthy? Why aren't you worthy? You're not worthy. I am not worthy because I am a sinner. There are people who actually truthfully believe. I have friends in this community who do not believe that they sin. They believe that once you're born of the Spirit of God, you do not sin anymore. Brethren, I'm here to tell you the thoughts of foolishness is sin. The Bible declares that the good that we would that we don't do, that's sin. There are sins of omission and there are sins of commission. And quite frankly, I probably sin some of both every day. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if you're a sinner, I'm telling you and declaring to you, you are not worthy of even the least of God's blessings. The prodigal son understood that. Father, what did he say? I have sinned, and I'm not worthy to be your son. May God help us all, as children of God, to acknowledge and to feel and to know that we're not worthy, but God is full of mercy, is my prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.